Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We also welcome in our new sponsor, Enviro Heating and Air, servicing all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Coming up, it's our final Giants Inside China Basin podcast of the 2018 season, and we'll be chatting with a couple of players that are hopefully part of the future, Aramis Garcia and Chris Shaw, who have been getting a look in the month of September. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. So this is the final Inside China Basin podcast. That doesn't mean that we are done podcasting here on thesportsvirus.com. We've got the Warriors Dubs OT podcast that will be starting up again. Ray Woodson will be joining me for those every week starting on October the 16th when the Warriors have their season opener against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And that'll go on every week throughout the season. Also, the 49ers Extra podcasts are well underway, as the 49ers are headed into week four. Every Tuesday, we update those with Steve Bono, the former 49ers quarterback. Also on a regular basis, quarterback C.J. Beathard will be joining us. He is now the starter for San Francisco. So look for those podcasts here on thesportsvirus.com. Well, a Giant season that started with promise when you looked at who they acquired in the offseason. They went after some veteran players, Evan Longoria and Andrew McCutchen. Those were the two big names joining the Giants. But really, it never got started right for San Francisco, because right away in spring training, you had the injury to Madison Bumgarner, a bunch of injuries throughout the season. This team really was able to hang in there pretty well in the first half of the season, always around 500. Really, it was kind of a joke throughout the year about how they were almost exactly at 500, and they just could never break through. They were in the race, though, during the summer, and then just fell out of it late in the season, to where you're not as interested in what's going on anymore as far as the Giants' record, but you were starting to look towards the future and look at some of the younger players. But you know, the veteran guys, it was just a tough season for the core players that have been here, that have won World Series. I mean, look, Buster Posey goes out with an injury and has surgery on his hip, and hopefully he'll be ready for spring training in 2019. I mean, you go around the infield, you had Brandon Belt. He was banged up a lot. Joe Panik had a couple of injuries. He had the thumb injury that took him out, a groin injury. He just wasn't himself this year. Brandon Crawford started out ice cold. Then he was a world beater for about 2.5 months. He was an all-star. It looked like he was having an MVP-type season there for a while, but then he completely tailed off with the bat. And Evan Longoria, also injured, broken hand. He's played a lot better defensively at the end of the year, but overall the numbers aren't what you really expected from Longoria when you looked at his career. And the outfield has definitely been a question mark all year. Steven Duggar certainly injected energy into center field. That was fun to watch him play while he was out there, but then he got hurt as well. Austin Slater swung the bat fairly well. It was good to see him get a chance. Chris Shaw, we're going to hear from him shortly. He's getting a little bit of a chance to play out in the outfield. And Hunter Pence, his career coming to an end, at least with the Giants. I'm not sure if he'll sign with anybody else, but you know, he just doesn't have the same skill level that he had before. But he really had a great career with the Giants. He helped them win two of their World Series, and certainly a fan favorite, and a really good guy to be around in the clubhouse, and definitely treats the media very well. As far as the starting pitching goes, I mean, that's where we had, you know, a really nice surprise in Derek Rodriguez, because nobody at the beginning of the year thought that Derek Rodriguez would be a mainstay in the rotation by the end of the season, but he certainly put up great numbers. He was a Rookie of the Year candidate this year, and after doing well in AAA, Derek Rodriguez, the son of Ivan Pudge Rodriguez, the Hall of Famer. He looks like he's going to be a mainstay now for years to come in the rotation. Andrew Suarez also pitched well at times, but still a little inconsistent. Madison Bumgarner, after coming off the injury, not the same Madison Bumgarner, but still good enough to keep you in a lot of games. And, of course, his future is in doubt because next year, 2019, is the last season of his contract. The bullpen did a pretty good job. You know, the whole pitching staff did well the second half of the year, one of the better ERAs, really, in baseball. The Willie Mack Award winner, Will Smith, did a nice job closing out games after there were injuries. Mark Melancon never really got settled in as the closer. Hunter Strickland had that role for a while. He was doing pretty well, but then he punched the door. He broke his hand, another injury, and he just never was the same pitcher again out of the bullpen. But some of the relievers that they've used, Tony Watson's done a nice job. Reyes Maranta, there have been some bright spots, certainly, on the pitching staff, but it's going to be really a whole new staff when you think about Bobby Evans being gone as the general manager. So there will be a couple of new faces in that front office, the next-gen general manager, as Larry Bear liked to say to the media recently. So we'll see how that all pans out. But we'll be back with more inside China Basin in 2019. But for now, let's hear the conversations I had with some players that are trying to show what they could do in the month of September and get a look here and then maybe in spring training as well, maybe make the team next year. Later, we'll hear from Aramis Garcia. But first, here's a conversation I had the other day at AT&T Park with Chris Shaw. Chris, tell us about the experience so far here in the major leagues. You get a shot, and you feel like you're maybe sort of settling into it after the first week or so?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm in a good rhythm now. I feel like I belong, so I feel really good right now.
Take us back to the first couple of at-bats. I mean, how nerve-wracking was that for you? And even just sort of getting used to, being in the big leagues and the big league pitching and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know that, nerve-wracking is necessarily the way I would describe it. It's just that I kind of didn't, do as good a job as I should have of kind of just locking myself into that moment. First couple days up, I kind of just let, my emotions get the best of me in that, I wasn't necessarily as clearly focused on what was going on right in front of me. I was thinking more just about, just everything that was there. Definitely could have done a better job of just focusing in, but I feel really good about that now.
Yeah, I would think over the years now in the minor leagues, have you learned about, just how long a season it is? And, if you get too high or too low in one game or even for a week, you can't let anything get down on you or you can't get too excited about it either.
Oh, no, yeah. God, no. I mean, I told somebody this, a week ago that, I've had just abysmal streaks before where I feel like I haven't got a hit for 2 weeks at a time. So, I a 1-for-20, I could care less about that. I'd probably do that 4 times in the course of a season anyways. I think most guys do. So, just having faith in yourself, knowing that it's going to come around and just, ultimately trusting your work and, how much time and sacrifice you put to get yourself to this point.
How meaningful was it, when you hit your first home run, you got family there and everything? I mean, it must have been pretty exciting to have those moments like that.
Yeah, it's what you work for your entire life. It's the opportunity to have the people that, basically sacrifice their lives to a certain point to get you to where you are now and to have them be there and see everything come through. And it was really incredible.
This is a special time right now for you guys, you, Austin Slater, Steven Duggar, and it's a shame that Duggar got hurt, but I know the three of you are pretty close, and, it's kind of unique when you think about it. Three guys are in the outfield. Maybe some people would think, oh, you're competing, but I know you guys really get along well, and you want to see the other guy succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're really close friends, and it's just one of those things that whenever one of us are in there, we're rooting for him, and hoping for the best for them.
AAA announcer Johnny Dosco was telling me a story that he went to somewhere on the road, went to Denny's, and he saw the three of you guys just sitting there, like laughing, having a great time. I mean, it's genuine that you guys really like to hang out together.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're really good friends. I mean, it's baseball doesn't take the human nature out of you. You still have your best friends, and that doesn't affect the way that you act towards each other, regardless of what competition there might actually be. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we're still really just close friends.
What are some of the things that you feel like you've improved on this year? I mean, what do you want to work on too for next year? You obviously have the power. You can hit a lot of home runs, but what are some of the other things you'd like to do better?
Just kind of what I've been doing the past, you know, 2 weeks or so, just working at good at-bats, looking for my pitch, and, you know, hammering mistakes. I think that that's pretty much hitting in its simplest form. And for a guy like me, you know, talking with Zoe and Shu, that's the way I got to be. I mean, I just got to touch it. I just got to get barrel to baseball and good things will happen. So for me to, you know, conceptualize that, the easiest way is just get a good pitch and hit it.
The thing I've noticed about you since you've been a pro is that you can hit to all fields. You can hit for power to all fields. Was it always like that, or is that something that you really had to work on when you signed?
Yeah, I had it ingrained in me at a very young age that I had to be able to hit the other way. Just growing up, you know, just hitting with my dad. If he went and took me to, you know, go hit BP on a field near the house or whatever, we would just always just, you know, hit the ball the other way. Don't try and pull the ball. You're going to be able to pull the ball. You know, work on what you're not good at now. And so now it's a strength of mine to be able to go the other way.
How about the pitchers? What do you see from them? Because they know you're a power guy. So I would think that it's not going to be one of those things where you're going to see a lot of fastballs, especially if they have the advantage.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, the situation will dictate what I get a lot of the time. But it's definitely, you know, especially today, you notice it in AAA too with a lot of these analytically minded teams, you know, with Fresno and the Astros being who they are. The biggest thing is these pitchers don't want to, you know, let up that damaged pitch. They'd rather walk you. You know, me going on first base is, you know, a pretty good consolation prize to me hitting a ball in the gap or over the fence. You know, I'm not a guy who's going to go and steal second base, so it's, you know, they basically limit the damage. And they look at that stuff. They look at the hot zones and, you know, where do hitters slug the most in the strike zone, and they try to avoid it.
And the shifts. I mean, how does that affect you, or did it affect you at all this year? Because, like you said, you hit the ball to all fields, but still, it seems like they've got analytics to figure out exactly where guys hit the ball.
Yeah, I think the infield shift is whatever. I don't look at that. The bigger thing that I think is starting to, you know, hurt guys' power numbers are these outfield shifts that, you know, they know where guys are hitting the ball in the air more frequently. I mean, if you hit a rocket in the gap that's, you know, outfield's playing straight up, it's 100% hit every time, and there's just a guy standing there, doesn't have to move, it's kind of just like, well, crap, what the heck am I supposed to do? But again, that's one of those things that it's totally out of your control, and it goes back to what I was talking about with, you know, my hitting approach. It's just get barrel the baseball and let the rest take care of itself.
Same thing with the ballpark here, because sometimes, you know, it can be a little intimidating to look to right center and see 421, but, you know, even if you hit the ball well, you're going to get a triple sometimes.
Yeah. No, I think that, you know, like you just said, yeah, you don't necessarily have to look at the fence. You just got to look at, you know, all that area, and that's, you know, extra base hits are extra base hits to me. You know, you hit enough of them, your slugging percentage is going to be there anyway. So while it's nice to hit it out, if I hit a, you know, rocket into that corner there and I can get a triple out of it, I'm happy with that. So
strikeouts used to be such a stigma in baseball, and I know you guys don't like striking out, but do you feel like it's more – is it acceptable because you know you're going to have the power numbers, you know, because of the fact that you do, you know, maybe take a big swing at the ball?
Yes and no. I just feel like just with, you know, when I put the ball in play, I'm usually putting it in play pretty hard. So I think that – and just talking to Zoe about this, if I can come out next year and, you know, cut down my strikeouts by, you know, 30 strikeouts on the year – that could be 50 extra points on the slugging percentage. That could be 5 more home runs. That could be just, you know, I think that big guys, we just have to put an emphasis on just putting the ball forward. And that's kind of what I've been trying to do lately. And obviously it's a work in progress, but that's, you know, that's ultimately my goal. You were asking earlier about goals going into next season. It's going to be to cut down strikeouts and figure out a way to put the ball in play more often.
Mentioned, you know, the relationship, Duggar and Slater. And Duggar, man, this guy, the way he plays the outfield, it must be special. You saw him all year.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of outfielder is he, in your opinion, just watching him?
Oh, he's a gold glover. I haven't seen a guy in the big leagues that, you know, is better than him or even as good as him, honestly. I think he's that good. It takes a lot of stress off the corner, guys, when we're out there with him. I mean, you see a ball in the air, you say, all right, go get it, Dougie, and just kind of sit back and watch. But and I've been playing with Steve since we were, you know, freshmen in college, so I've gotten to see it for a long time, and I can, you know, truly say he's one of the more special center fielders I've ever seen.
And it's really cool. I mean, not just in the outfield, because you got guys like Derek Rodriguez and Andrew Suarez. These guys all were in AAA this year as well, and they're here. I mean, this is kind of an exciting time for the young guys in the Giants organization, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, we're getting an opportunity, and you know, it's great to see guys taking it and running with it.
All right, hey, thanks a lot, Chris. Really appreciate it, and good luck this last week of the season.
Thank you very much.
That's Giants outfielder Chris Shaw. The other day, I had a chance to ask Bruce Bochy about evaluating the players, young guys like Shaw and like Aramis Garcia, who we're going to hear from in a second here. Well, how do you evaluate them in September? And then what does it look like in September versus what their minor league numbers were? And then when you go to spring training, how does that change as far as the overall evaluation?
Well, I think you, I mean, you evaluate in all situations. Now, when you're looking at spring training, you know, you can get a little fooled there more than anywhere else. In fact, you know, some pitchers aren't ready. Some guys are playing winter ball. They come in a little bit more ready. The pitchers aren't quite as sharp. Or even vice versa. You know, pitchers haven't had time to get ready, so they're getting a hit around early. So it's harder to get a true evaluation in spring training than now. But this is a short look that you still take the body of work that they had in their season, whether it's in AAA or AA. And so really, you use it all. And so, but this does give the coaching staff, myself, a chance to see how these guys handle playing in the major leagues.
That's Giants manager Bruce Bochy. Now let's get to the conversation with Aramis Garcia. Well, Aramis, tell us about the experience so far, getting up here to the major leagues, sort of maybe settling in a little bit in the last month of the season.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, I had a, when I got here, I had a few days before my debut to kind of settle in and, you know, catch some bullpens, get to know the guys and things like that, which I feel like helped me a lot. But yeah, you know, just settling in and trying to finish strong.
You had an interesting situation where you have a terrible game, you go 0-for-4, you're striking out, and then you come back right away after that and you get a four-hit game. Can you even explain what that was like? I mean, maybe learning from the experiences that you had in both cases.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's never easy going 0-for-4, but then when you go 0-for-4 with 4Ks, it makes it even harder, you know. But that's the beauty of baseball. You know, we play 6, sometimes 7 games a week, so you got to learn to have a short-term memory. It's something that I was preached when I was, you know, younger coming up, you know, just to always have that short-term memory. And, you know, you always have that opportunity to come back the next day and try to do something special.
We've been showing some of your power so far, and that's something that everybody who watched you in the minor leagues knew that you had. Do you feel like you've been able to maybe tap into it a little bit better when you start getting more comfortable? And, you know, just the overall season of the power, how did you feel about that? And do you feel maybe later in the season you've done better with it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like it's always been part of my game. And just, you know, over the years and in my development, just trying to, like you said, tap into it, you know, hunting pitches in certain counts that you can, you know, try to do a little bit of damage in. So I feel like it's always been a part of my game, just something that I've been trying to fine tune.
What was the season like as a whole? Because I know at the beginning, you know, it wasn't going really the way you would like, and it's finishing very well for you. But what did you learn from those experiences? What did you do as far as maybe making some adjustments?
You know, honestly, I dislocated my finger in April, so I was kind of battling with that, but I tried to stay off the DL just because at the time I actually was swinging it really well, you know, to open the season. But, you know, it's been a lot of perseverance, a lot of grinding. I really haven't done anything different. I just remember, you know, specifically coming into it was we were in Reading, and it was June 1st, and I had a, you know, I had a pretty bad May, you know, grinding through that injury and things like that. But I remember coming in on June 1st and just saying, you know what, there's a new month. And, you know, just kind of took it from there, and my season kind of just took off. I had a good June, good July, and, you know, obviously getting the opportunity here in August.
You start to realize how long of a season it is, and you can't get too down, and especially if you have an injury. You've been through it before when you had the facial fracture. That had to be tough. You were out for a long time on that one. Anything that you sort of learned from that going forward?
Oh, man. You know, 2016 was probably one of the worst years of my life just because, you know, with that injury and,
you know, you learn a lot about yourself as a player when you go through, when you have to go through something like that. But, you know, the biggest thing I probably learned was that, you know, the game can be taken away from you at any moment, just like that. And so just not to take anything for granted. So going forward, I feel like I've, you know, really tried to honor that and just try to give it my all every day.
You've worked so hard at the defensive part of the game, being a good catcher. Tell us, where do you think you made your biggest strides this year as far as catching?
Well, you know, it's been a big focus of mine ever since I've signed, but I feel like these past 2 years especially, I feel like I've made huge strides defensively. You know, in the offseason, did a lot of, you know, research in terms of, you know, the best guys in the big leagues, how they do their work behind the plate, and really just kind of based my offseason work behind defensively from that standpoint. And, you know, once the season started, I got to give a lot of credit to Billy Hayes. He helped me out so much this year. And you know, since I've come up here, Eli and Hundo have really helped me out tremendously. So I'm very thankful to them. And yeah.
All those guys know how important the footwork is. Is that something that you had to work a lot at? I mean, to be nimble back there, not always easy. And it has to be second nature, I guess, once you're playing in a game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something that you definitely work on. And probably something that I needed to get better at, you know, quickening my footwork behind the plate. You know, the throwing part, I feel like, has always been a, you know, a plus part of my game or whatever. I feel like I've always been able to throw the ball pretty well, but that footwork has definitely been a focus for sure.
Then there's the other part, just dealing with the pitchers. And when you're a rookie catcher, how does that go? I mean, you got Hundley, who's been around for a long time, and he knows these guys, you know, outside of Suarez, who I know you came up playing as a little kid with. The other guys, did you have to feel like you had to learn from them? How much did spring training even help in that regard?
Yeah, you know, spring training's a little different just because, you know, you're catching all these guys, but at the same time, they're trying to get their arms in shape too. So I think spring training, as opposed to, you know, the heat of the season, is a little bit different just because guy stuff, I feel like, changes from that time to, you know, where we're at. But, you know, I feel like I've had a ton of help here, you know, just talking with pitchers. And, you know, early on, I didn't miss a pitcher stretch. You know, I was always out there just trying to catch flat grounds, talk to guys, just try to do whatever I can to try to get a feel so that when I did get an opportunity to go back there, it wasn't like, oh, you know, here's the rookie. You know, I was just trying to be another fit into that puzzle.
Well, I imagine that you can't get offended if a pitcher shakes you off, but at the same time, is there some kind of satisfaction when you're calling pitches and he's just saying, yeah, yeah, you know, like, okay, I'm right about this. I'm calling the pitches that he wants.
Yeah, you know, I feel like that's something that just comes with, you know, working with somebody for some time. You know, whenever you get the opportunity to be on the same page with your pitcher, it definitely feels good. But at the end of the day, you know, they're the one that has to throw the ball. So, you know, if they do shake you off, you got to have some understanding just because, you know, they got to end up throwing that pitch with conviction and with confidence. So it's a give and take, you know, but as you go on, you just learn and you try to do that the best you can.
How about playing at first base? What have you learned over there? Did you play much of that before in your life?
Yeah, I played a little bit in college. And then last year after my, you know, I had a little concussion, I played a little more first base. But it's something that I've always kind of done, you know, not full-time or anything, but it's kind of a way for me to stay in the lineup without having an off day, which I really liked, you know, coming up. But, yeah, you know, I've been getting some work here. Ron Wotus and Augie have been helping me out a ton, so.
Again, that's footwork. You know, it's so important over there. You know, you see Buster Posey. I mean, he does such a good job of that, of going from catcher over to first, and it seems like a seamless transition, but it can't be that easy.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely things that you got to, you know, pick up on, and, you know, it's just a different part of the game. You know, instead of putting the fingers down, you got to be ready for bunts and double plays and things like that, but, you know, it's something that you can definitely work on and get better at.
I wanted to ask you about the relationship with Andrew Suarez, since I mentioned it, you know, that you played together as kids. So, you know, how did that grow as you became adults? And, I mean, it's pretty amazing to end up on the same major league team after all that.
Yeah. You know, I've been catching him since we were 17, 18 years old. And, you know, he's really honestly been pretty much the same pitcher, which is pretty cool to me. You know, he hasn't changed much at all. And, but, yeah, you know, in terms of catching him, I feel like we work really well together, and I think that just goes to say just because of all that time that we've spent together working together.
Derek Rodriguez, there's another guy who you've had a chance to be around. I mean, he's having just a great year for a rookie. He just seems so composed out there.
Yeah, you know, you can't say enough about that. I mean, he's just almost unconscious out there. And I think what him and Andy do really well is, you know, there's nothing that can happen on the baseball field that fazes them, which I think for a pitcher is everything, you know. Both of them stay composed really well, and they both compete, which I love.
Before I let you go, a couple more things. Just the family being involved in your debut. I mean, that had to be really special. You hit a home run. Your dad's there. They're showing it on television. I mean, anybody who enjoys baseball and knows you a little bit and just can, you know, sort of realize how much that must have meant to your family.
Yeah, you know, it was really special, and I'm, you know, so thankful they were able to spend that whole week here with me. Yeah, when I hit that ball and I got back into the dugout, they actually put my dad on the screen. So just seeing them, you know, and my mom in tears, it was hard not to get emotional in the dugout. But, you know, obviously so thankful for them. And, yeah, I know they've really enjoyed this whole journey.
Yeah, I mean, you think about parents and they both mean so much. I mean, I don't know, was your dad your first person that you ever played catch with? I mean, what did your mom do? She probably drove you to a lot of games, right?
Yeah, you know, my mom will tell you that I got my athletic ability from her. But, but yeah, you know, they've always found a way to support me. It hasn't always been easy, but, you know, they've always found a way to provide for my brother and me, and, you know, obviously something that I'll always be eternally grateful for.
And I was going to ask you too about coming from the Miami area, because the competition for baseball there, it must be great. I mean, it must have prepared you a lot, because there's just so many good players.
Yeah, you know, I think it was huge. There's definitely a big base of baseball over there, and I think it's pretty easy to get overlooked too, you know, just with all the competition that's there and things like that. But yeah, you know, coming up, it's always been baseball, and in Miami, from the time you're 12 to the time you're in, you know, you're done with college, it's very competitive.
Okay, the very last thing, now that you achieved your goal, you got to the major leagues, what are your goals now for next season?
I mean, to stay here, you know. Just going to work in the off season, and, you know, coming into spring training, try and plead my case to try and stay here.
Yeah, done a great job so far. Thanks a lot for joining us. Appreciate it, and good luck.
Thank you.
That's Aramis Garcia. I want to thank him and Chris Shaw, and I want to thank all of our guests this season on Inside China Basin. Again, join us for 49ers Extra every Tuesday here on thesportsvirus.com. Steve Bono is our regular guest, and CJ Beathard also will be joining us on a regular basis. And Ray Woodson will be back with Dubs OT, the Warriors podcast, starting on October the 16th. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. We'll see you again in 2019 with our Inside China Basin podcast here on thesportsvirus.com. Thanks a lot for listening.